I would invite Dale to come and read our scripture this morning. And when he's done, the choir will sing.
We all have been called and are all called by God to serve. This is the story from John of the calling of the first disciples. Hear the word of God. The next day, John again was standing with two of his disciples, and as he watched Jesus walk by, he exclaimed, "Look, here is the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. When Jesus turned and saw them following, he said to them, "What are you looking for?" They said to him, "Rabbi," which translated means teacher, "where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he was staying, and they remained with him that day. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated anointed. He brought Simon to Jesus, who looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You are to be called Cephas," which is translated Peter. Then Jesus called Philip and Nathanael. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him about whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus, son of Joseph of Nazareth." Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." When Jesus saw Nathanael coming towards him, he said to him, "Here is truly an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael asked him, "Where did you get to know me?" And Jesus answered, "I saw you under the fig tree before Philip called you." Nathanael replied, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." And Jesus answered, "Do you believe because I told you that I saw you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Very truly I tell you, you will see heaven opened and angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
A special thank you to the choir for switching up their order this week, not only during worship, but during rehearsal. We had talked on Monday about how we talk about God's story so far at Crossroads, and I was reminded that Bill, who was the longtime interim music director here, that Bill wrote the music and Pastor Larry, the first pastor here, wrote the words to that song. So that is Crossroads' song. Let us pray. Dear God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer, we pray. Amen. The scripture that Dale read and his call to worship today, poor guy, he only got a couple words, right? But over and over again we heard, "Come and see." Come and see. Those are the words that Jesus said to those who were called to be disciples. They asked where we were going. He said, "Come and see." They asked what we're doing. He said, "Come and see." They said, "I don't know if I want to be a part of it." He said, "Come and see. Come and see. Earlier this week, I spoke with Pastor Larry, the first pastor here at Crossroads, and he shared with me this concept that he felt was so important here at Crossroads was this idea of call and response. He said that's how this church began, with a call and response. He shared how many people's response was yes. He shared that a mailing went out to the addresses in Wanakee area, inviting them to consider that there could be a new church here. And then he told me that phones were called, that all the numbers they had, all the numbers they could find, they would call. And they called, and they called, and they called, like literally with phones, to other house phones. I know, it's like a concept my kids don't understand, but someone sat in a room with a phone and called someone who had to answer at a phone in their house. Yeah. Yeah. And people answered. Some of you answered. People before you answered. And they said, yeah, sure, maybe. And some said yes. And since then, others have said yes. Through Pastor Larry's recalling, he said that there were other new church starts that the United Methodist Church was planning around that time. And he remembered four pastors who used to get together and share in relationship. Dave Warner remembered the same thing, that those four church planters, pastors, would get together and compare notes and talk about what to do and how it worked. And one of those pastors is now our bishop, Bishop Dan Shireen. Both him and Dave said, what a great job he did. Yeah, but what a great job you did. In 1990, this was likely the first and only new church start for the Wisconsin UMC. Bishop David Lawson appointed a clergy here who didn't end up lasting to the time of the first service, and so that's why Larry is listed as our first pastor. That one just didn't work out. But from the very beginning, the goal was to phone everyone and to see if there was a reasonable amount of people that could get excited about a new church. Larry said when the calls were made, which numbered in the thousands, people were asked if they'd like to be kept on the informational list, the mailing list. And he said many said no. But a big percentage still said yes. And that list that was created was utilized so that when they offered the first worship service in September of 1990 with their pastor Larry, who was appointed in July of that year, they had about 120 or so in attendance. And he said it was held at a local public school. The preacher was under the basketball hoop. That just kept getting stuck in my head because we just got a basketball hoop here at Crossroads. We've been wanting one to play, and I keep thinking, I don't want to stand under there ever. Yeah, yeah. Larry said that the first worship service at the end, it was deemed a good start with high hopes. In early 1992, he said a name was needed to be chosen for the congregation, and that there were two final names that came up. And after the first vote, the initial vote, the vote was split 50-50 for which name to choose. After some discussion, one person changed their mind on the second ballot. But he doesn't recall what the other name is or was. I've asked a few people, and no one has the answer yet. So if you do, I'd love to hear it. But also, that speaks to the idea that it didn't matter, right? Because we were moving forward, not backwards. In 1993, Crossroads was chartered in March 29th, 1992, and there was cake to prove it, right? By 1993, a new pastor was appointed here. Pastor Dave and his wife Barb joined the church that called themselves Crossroads. And some of you are still here today, as we found out, including there were some other people who were instrumental both in the church and in the life of the church for many years, including the interim music director, Bill. He laughs still about that. He said there was a wonderful organist named Rosalind here. Did I say it right? Rosalind? Yeah. Yeah. Good. I heard that about her. But the hard work of setting up a space each week and the uniqueness of a pastor preaching in a gymnasium, when people talk about it, it still brightens their faces. You still smile with this lightheartedness about the conversations of the beginning of this church. But it also shows that the invitation that was made to people, the invitation that people said yes to, wasn't an invitation to come and sit in nice comfy chairs and get comfortable while we worship God. The invitation was for you to share in your energy, in your excitement, in your understanding of God's promises, and in your willingness to be a church. From setting up the borrowed space of the school or the rented warehouses, this congregation decided, accepted, that in order to grow roots, they must share in the work. Pastor Dave and Barb met with the SPRC prior to their appointment. You have to meet with the staff parish relations to see if you're a good fit. That meeting was held in a warehouse, in the first warehouse, and they also met with some squirrels there, he said. He said when they stepped out, they went into this big room, and they were waiting for the congregation to decide if they would accept them, because he knew they had loved Larry so much, he was a little worried. He also was a little worried looking at the space and seeing a boat in the corner and the vastness of the room that would need to become the church. He said in that space, he wondered if him and Barb would be ready to tackle this whole adventure, you know, squirrels and all. They said yes. And you said yes to them. And thank goodness you did, because their skills brought this newborn church and helped it to grow. Taking the energy of those that had said yes to a new church start and the momentum of being in the first warehouse with a little less set up each week and the Holy Spirit's encouragement to continue to reach out, Crossroads Church continued, and they were on a search for a new building, a space of their own. But first, they must move to the second warehouse. Now, why a second warehouse, you ask? Because we got kicked out of the first one. Yet not by our behavior, I was told. I was also told it was not ideal, but moving to the adjacent warehouse had the same landlord, and the new space was actually more suited for a church setting, in Dave's opinion. But he said it took a lot of work by men and women to build the rooms for Sunday school and the meeting rooms, and to make it more attractive and suitable for worship. He recalls a small roof that was added to the front door to help distinguish the entrance of the church from that of other rented spaces in the building. And then he told me a story, one that I've heard before, but differently. He said there were times when we had to stop whatever we were doing, whatever was happening, because a train came through right next to the building. Yeah. Anytime I hear the word train, people laugh. It's like you remember the sounds of that train, and with no uncertainty, the need for everything to stop, because with a train going by, nothing else was going to happen. Everything must halt. That invasion of sound made no other sounds possible. For kids and adults alike, they would go to the windows to see. Now, I was also told there were much prettier sounds in your history. Prettier than the train was the choir. Bill recalled that the first choir was a group of women that gathered after worship to practice. By Rod's invitation at Cub Scouts, Bill came to check out the church. And Kathy suggested that with Bill's musical background, perhaps he could give us some tips. Bill recalls that Pastor Larry called him into his office on South Street. Is that right? South Street? And that Pastor Larry said to him, "Well, the choir ladies seem to like you." What a wonderful thing to hear, huh? Pastor Larry invited him to be the interim choir director until we can find us a new one. So for 30 years, Bill served as the volunteer interim choir director with practices four nights a week. Crossroads was blessed with Bill's gift of music. Beyond directing the choir, he shared how he arranged music, accompanied the Faithful Men's group and the Seraphim group, worked with the praise band and the choir. He recalled that humor and grace and a desire to be part of a community that was doing something was the draw here. He recalled that everyone who was part of the church family was an integral part of the church family. You couldn't just come and watch. I was reminded that this congregation, when it started, was full of young people. Pastor Dave said he was just over 40 and he was one of the oldest. He wasn't sure if him as an old dog could be taught new tricks, but he said it worked out pretty well because people heard an invitation to come and see, and people put their hearts and their lives into being a church. Crossroads, I believe, is part of God's story. That might seem a bit of a lofty statement, but it's true nonetheless. God built something here. Through hard work and dedication and people saying yes, God helped people come together to come and see. Now, just like those first disciples that Dale told us about, each was part of the church that had to set something aside in their own lives in order to be the church. People had to go with the flow and to do things that didn't feel the same as they used to do. They had to wonder if anything good would come of it, and they had to listen for God's call. For 31 weeks, we've talked about God's story. We've talked about this overarching desire since the very beginning of creation for God to be in connection with God's people. And we talked about all the ways that didn't work, right? Oh, so many ways. The Garden of Eden. The people kicked out of their land. The killing. The destruction. Jesus. The calling of the disciples. Each was a step in God's plan to try to get people back to God. To try to reconcile the relationship. Every time that people walked away or hid from God, God tried to find them, and God remained steadfast. That ultimate desire for God to be in relationship with God's people. Now, through this new thing that the conference did here, with hope of success, hope, fingers crossed and a lot of hope, and some support, some which was more supportive because it had good intention, and some that was just good intention. And the collegial relationships of other pastors doing new churches, this church began. Those who served, like Bill, said he never considered the work here a job, but a mission. The beginnings of Crossroads was built on the strengths of each member, recognizing that each one of us, each one, has a strength. We all have something to share. I am sure that with the right spark, names and stories of those early days can keep conversations going around here. But I think that it's the Spirit's cooperation, being open to hearing God, having a desire to live and serve a community, to work out the logistics and to even let a pastor's husband fill in when necessary. It is in those stories that we hear that lower story of God reaching God's people, how people of this area gathered to worship God. That scripture from John helps us to see that there are next steps, that the revelation and the growth, it raises additional questions. And it also raises recognition of God's presence. And it lets us know that God's presence doesn't require full and complete understanding, that we can live into our call. Indeed, I believe that Crossroads is not done listening, because I believe that God is still speaking. May we be hearers of the word. And with God's help, this day and always, may we be the church. Amen.